So good morning.
Morning.
And I want to extend my welcome as well to everyone, especially if this is your first time. It's great to have you with us. And so my name is Sarah Stairs David. I am awake, just thanks to a son, but I am awake. So I'm married to, in my unbiased opinion, the best person, Lisa, who's actually in creche at the moment with our also probably the most handsome son, so sorry everyone else, but Theodore, or Theo. You guys had a good week?
Yeah,
not bad. Okay, nice. I just want to do something a little off script because God's been reminding me to smile a lot this week. There's been different things happening. God's been saying, "Smile, smile." I just wondered if anyone had like something really short they wanted to share briefly that made them smile this week. Anything at all. Could be something really small. You saw a butterfly, or anything at all. Anything that made you smile this week. Be anything. Hopefully you guys have smiled at least once this week. Well, I'll let you have a think. And I just want to, like, God's been challenging me to make sure we share those little joyful moments, even if they're really small. So, as many of you know, I've got a son called Theo, and he's just discovered how to build these, like, little towers all by himself. And the other day we were, in the lounge, and I was playing with him, and it was one of the first times that he learned how to build a tower. It was only about this size, but in that moment, in his eyes, he was just so proud of himself. You know, it was like he'd won the lottery, he'd met the love of his life, and Liverpool had won the league again, all in that one moment. It was incredible. And, you know, as he picked up the tower, and there's someone here who's really good at doing impersonations. So Keith, can I ask you to come up? If you don't know Keith, he does some really good impersonations. So you can be Theo for me in this situation, if you wouldn't mind. So you might need to crouch a little bit because Theo is obviously smaller than you. Theo, you might have to move around as well. So you might just like to maybe squat with your legs.
Squat.
I mean, I don't know whether you've seen a baby waddle, like they stick their bum out and like they waddle around. So as Theo was in the room, you know, he picked up his tower and he looked at it and was holding it high, going, "Da da da da."
Da da da.
Yeah. It's like Theo's in the room. And he was so proud, and he was showing the whole room. Showing everyone, just walking around going, "Dada, dada, look, look, look." Dada, dada.
Dada, dada.
Great, thank you, Keith. And you just kept doing that. Let's give Keith a round of applause. They just kept doing that until he got a bit too excited and the tower ended up on the other end of the room. But, you know, in that moment, if I could capture that emotion that was in Theo's eyes of how proud he was of that tower... I wish I could have captured that. So, you know, if you can invent a machine that can capture emotions in a second, let me know. I think it's really important that we share some joyful moments, things that make us smile, no matter how small they are. But anyway, back on script a little bit. So we're going to be carrying on our series in Ephesians with some water. So last week, Jason shared from the last few verses in chapter 2. And he challenged us about that phrase of being disciples of culture. Disciples of culture. And he looked a little bit into the Jewish culture and the Gentiles and what that meant, how that worked, and also touched briefly upon, how because of Jesus, we're all now part of God's family, not just the chosen people, the Israelites. And I really encourage you, if you didn't listen to that, you know, to go back. It's really easy. You can go on our website, you can go on Facebook, you can go on YouTube, and listen back to hear what Jason was sharing. But today, if you weren't there, we'll hear this word Gentile a few times. So a basic sort of translation, when Paul is writing Ephesians, when he writes the word Gentile, he means a people or nations of the world that are not Hebrew or Jewish. So, you know, if me as a white British man met Paul, he'd go, "Oh, hey, you Gentile." Maybe not like that, but, you know, I'd be a Gentile. So we're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to pause at a few places as we go along. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Great. So verse 1. When I think of all this, so everything that Jason shared about last week, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, and pause. That was quick, wasn't it? But Paul does pause right here, almost mid-sentence. You know, in the original manuscript, there's a break right there. And, you know, there's a few different people. Translations show that in a different way. If you put that verse up again, Phil, if you wouldn't mind, in this translation, it's just shown by three little dots. So, for the benefit of you Gentiles, dot, dot, dot. But that's the break in the manuscript when Paul is writing. And, you know, there's thoughts about what this, but sort of the common senses, in a sense, is almost that, you know, the rest of these verses that we'll read today are almost almost like a side note, in brackets, in a sense. You know, when the preacher goes, oh, here's another point, or here's a bonus point, or I wasn't going to share this, but here's a free one for you. This is also the first time in Ephesians that Paul mentions that he's a prisoner. You know, if I was writing a letter, it's probably one of the first things I would have put at the very beginning was, hi, I'm David, I'm a prisoner, and I'm writing to you. But Paul doesn't do that. He waits until later on in this letter. And we'll look at that in a little bit. And if we continue just for now, so in verse 2, so it says, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles, so to you and me, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed this mysterious plan to me. And as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. So here we see Paul talking about this responsibility of extending his grace to you and me. And in other translations, it uses this word stewardship. It says that God's given him the stewardship. And when you look at the Hebrew and the what that means, it's basically a household plan. So God's given Paul this household plan, God's family plan, and it's his job to share it with you and me. And you know, he also says in verse 4 that as you read what I've written, you'll understand my insight into this plan. And thankfully, he doesn't, you know, he tells us what the plan is quite quickly. You know, in verse 6, it says, this is God's plan. I don't know about you, that's really clear. I'd love to have that clearness in some situations in my life where it says, you know, what's going on? And it's like, this is the plan. And, you know, Paul really clearly says, this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. And though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. So that was God's plan. You know, as Jason touched on last week, that all of us who believe, regardless of culture, can be part of God's family. You know, the Bible talks about being grafted in. And just to clarify, you know, that doesn't mean, okay, you've got God's chosen people over here and us lot over here. We're like two separate plants, in a sense, growing. But if you show that image, Phil, if you wouldn't mind. You know, this is an image of a plant being grafted in. When the Bible says we're being grafted in, we're one plant, we're one family growing for the glory of God. We're not two separate things happening, we're one united. And I hope that's grafting. The gardeners can hopefully agree. Yeah. Great, thumbs up. and also in verse 8, we get that humility and reminder from Paul that, you know, we may not feel qualified at times, but that doesn't matter about our calling. You know, let's remember that Paul wasn't always the best person. You know, when you look at his early life, he often spat at and looked down at and abused and made like the early Christians like a living hell in a sense. But God still used him. And you know, if it was me, I probably wouldn't have used the person that, like if I was being mean to Sarah, which hopefully I'm not, but if I was mean to being Sarah, you know, I wouldn't choose me to then go to Sarah and say, oh, by the way, God loves you, you're part of the family, and he's got a plan for your life. But thankfully, I'm not God, although sometimes I think that, but I'm not. And, you know, no matter what doubt Paul may have had of, you know, I'm not really qualified, but God's got this calling on my life. You know, no matter that doubt, Paul knew that God had this calling, that he had this household plan, this family plan, and that was bigger than his fear and his doubt in those moments. And it made me think, I wonder what calling in my life, in our lives, that, you know, God has given us, but, you know, they're just hitting a brick wall because of our fear and our doubts. You know, I wonder what Christianity would look like if Paul hadn't done any of the things that he'd done, or how many people would not know God because Paul had caved in and he felt, oh, I'm not qualified, I'm not the right person to say this message. And I wonder how many people today, you know, our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues, don't know Jesus because of a calling that God's put in our life, or a calling, maybe your very own calling, that, you know, is just being stopped by fear and doubt. I'll leave that with you to think about. And in verse 10, actually, you know, if you're in a life group, maybe this week, spend some time purposefully talking about that as well. I think that'd be really good. And if you're not in a life group, shameless plug, let us know, and we'd love to put you into a life group. They're great, they're amazing. But if we move on to verse 10, with some water. So in verse 10, so that was God's plan of making us all one family. And the purpose of it is in verse 10. So it says, God's purpose in all this. So everything we've spoken about so far, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, that plan that he carried out from his son Jesus, who, you know, God loved us so much, sending his son Jesus to die, you know, on that cross for us, and then rising from the dead. You know, just so we can have that chance of knowing God personally, that chance of that two-way relationship with him. And, you know, in verse 10, in some translations, it instead of heavenly places, it talks about powers and principalities. And, you know, some modern scholars have, you know, taught that, you know, that's representing the sort of economic structure and the political states that we have today. So, you know, Paul's saying that God's purpose was to show the whole world his glory, which sounds great, but that's not what Paul is writing here. What Paul is saying is even bigger. Even bigger. You know, in the original manuscript, the original language, the literal word for heaven is used. So Paul is talking about those in the heavens and not the earth in this instance. So let's just take that in for a second. So God's purpose in all this was to use the church, and that word translates to body of believers, which is us. We're a body of believers. So not this building, but God's purpose was to use us to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God is using us to show the heavens what he's done and what he's capable of. You guys, it's like Theo when he was running around with his tower going, dada, dada, dada. You know, God is looking at us going, hey, you angels, hey, you demons, hey, Satan, look at my church. You know, you can try throwing debt at them, you can try giving them COVID, you can try taking away loved ones or taking all their friends away, you can make their job a nightmare, but look at my church. You know, look at my people who I love, who I'm well pleased, that I'm so proud of, and nothing's going to change that. And I've never read that bit of that verse before, you know, and it blows my mind. My mind is easily blown. but, you know, that me, little me, that unperfect me, sometimes grumpy me, is loved by God so much, that God is so proud of me, that right now in heavenly places, God is looking down at us, going, look at CLC, look at my family. Hey, Satan, are you jealous? Are you jealous? I love it. And if we look at those last two verses, verses 12 to verses 13, so it says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Who's heard that verse before? It's quite a famous verse. And verse 13, So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. You know, verse 12 is used quite a lot. You know, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Boldly and confidently. You know, that sounds great, doesn't it? You know, it sounds really important, you know, that we don't have to be scared of going to a prayer meeting and praying out loud, or, you know, we have that confidence that if we speak, God is going to listen, that he's going to hear us. And that's great. And for the people that Paul is with, as Paul was talking, is even more important. You know, back then, there was this amazing awe and fear of God's presence. I think we've lost a little bit today. You know, in the Old Testament, it's full of times where God's presence was in a physical place. You know, sometimes the tabernacle or temple you might read in the Old Testament. And when you read about it, you know, crazy things happened when people entered God's presence who were not allowed to be in there or who were too scared. And, you know, people died. And you even see it with Moses, you know, after the Ten Commandments were given and the people heard God's voice. And Moses came down and they were amazed that they were alive. And in Deuteronomy 5, it says, "Today we have seen that God can speak to us humans and we live. But now, why should we risk death again? If the Lord our God speaks to us again, we will certainly die and be consumed by this awesome fire. Can any living thing hear the voice of the living God from the heart of the fire and survive?" If things got real when they entered God's presence. And therefore, you know, they were scared. So they left it to the priests, they left it to the holy people to be that sort of in-between person, that in-between between them and God. You know, have you ever been in that situation? Sometimes in an argument, I know I have when growing up, where, you know, two people refuse to speak to each other, you're in the same house, and they're like, oh, Tim, can you pass the ketchup for Tony? Because, you know, you don't want to speak to each other. Never? Okay. you know, or even, you know, when you're at school or college, and they're like, oh, I really, really, really fancy this person over here. Can you maybe go over to them and say, you know, see, do they like me? Ask them a question. So you scuffle along and you ask them, and then you go back. You know, many of us have probably experienced that in some way or one of those people. And, you know, that was what it was like for the Israelites. That's how they treated God. That's how they spoke. They used someone else as the middleman. But what Paul is saying here, and what we've learned so far over the past few weeks, and what we'll continue to learn, is, you know, that fear isn't needed because of Jesus. All of us, because of Jesus, all of us can approach God. All of us can be in his presence. All of us can hear his voice and speak to him. And that, you know, that's what Paul means, that now God is present with us and we can be present with God. You know, the Bible uses the word omnipresent, meaning everywhere. God is everywhere. Let's just think in. God is everywhere. We're in his presence all the time, everywhere. So right now, each and every one of us can speak to the creator of the earth. I mean, that's crazy that each and every one of us can do that. And it's not like the constant DMs or tags you do on social media to get the attention of a celebrity, but God is actually listening and speaking back. Like, again, my mind just gets blown when I think about that. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to let that truth, that revelation, you know, affect us? You know, it's really good to be sat here listening and nodding and agreeing and, you know, smiling. But, you know, if nothing's going to change, if we're just going to listen to these words and nothing's going to change, then it's a little bit pointless. What are we going to do? You know, if we're honest, when we hear that challenge and hear that phrase of, okay, so me, David, Sarah, Tony, Leslie, have direct access to speak to God every day, anytime, anywhere. There's probably three categories that we'd be grouped into of what we're thinking right now. You know, there's maybe some of us who are thinking, you know, that's great, I'm just going to carry on as normal. You know, I think You know, I'm speaking to God, listening to God, amazing, great. But there's maybe some of us who, you know, have heard these words. You know, you'd say, I know God, I know of God. I read my Bible sometimes, but I don't know if I've ever heard God's voice. I don't know if I've maybe ever felt his Holy Spirit. And then there may be some of us here who are just like, you know, it's a bit, you know, far-fetched what you're saying today. I'm not sure if I even believe in God. I don't know what's going on here. You know, this person's a little crazy in his stripy t-shirt. But, you know, each of those groups and categories, you know, that's totally valid how you're feeling. There's no judgment here. And for those of you who have lots of questions, you know, I can speak to God. God listens to me. God sent his son to die for me and then rose again. You know, I don't blame you for having questions. I still have loads of questions. But one of the most important things I learned was that it's okay to have questions. It's okay to have questions. You know, none of us enter a friendship or a relationship fully knowing that other person. You know, when I married Lisa, there was loads I didn't know, and I'm still finding out things today. And it's the same with God. You know, God doesn't mind how many questions you have. He just wants that chance for you to know him personally, that chance to hear his voice, to speak to him. And, you know, if that's you, you know, I really encourage you, you know, don't leave today without talking to someone, asking those questions. And, you know, we are a family, as Paul was saying, you know, God's plan was to make us a family, a safe space. So, you know, why not try in this safe space, just speaking to God, listening to him. You know, and we'd love to help you on that journey. You know, don't leave without grabbing someone. And if you're in that second group, maybe, you know, you say you've known God, you've come to church maybe a few times, maybe even for years, but you're not sure if you've ever heard God's voice. You're not sure if, you know, you've ever felt his Holy Spirit. Again, please don't rush off. You know, if you're in a life group, I really encourage you to take time this week to talk about that, to explore that, to pray together. And if you're here today, you know, we'd love to pray with you as well. You know, I think, you know, as I close in a second, I want to challenge all of us, myself included, especially me. you know, sometimes I have this mindset of, you know, our ability to hear God, or how close we feel to God, you know, is not down or reliant to the person who's standing up here on stage. It's not on the shoulders of your youth leader, your small group leader, the elders. You know, it's not resting on the shoulders of your parents. You know, it's your relationship and it's your responsibility. You know, I think we fall into this comfy cushion or comfy routine sometimes of we know church is good, we know youth group and small groups are good, so we go along, and just by going along, we think that will, you know, tick our Christian checklist. Or we go on a Sunday, we go to youth on a Tuesday, we go to our small group and have food and talk, but then we get frustrated when our relationship with God isn't going anywhere. We get sad and angry when we don't feel like we're hearing God's voice, or we don't see miracles, but all we're doing is attending. All we're doing is going and expecting someone else to do all the work, just like they were doing with Moses. You know, I hold my hands up. I've had that mentality as well before. But, you know, that's just what the Israelites did. You know, they expected someone else to do all the work. They expected that if they came to church, then the person at the front would make them closer to God. But as Paul has been telling us, you know, all of us can know God. All of us can speak to God and hear his voice. And, you know, parents, I don't often get a chance to talk directly to you, but, you know, parents, if you want to see your child grow in your faith, if you want to see them flourish in their relationship with Jesus, see their eyes open even more to the truths and the joy of what Jesus has, you know, going to youth and going to Bridge Builders is great, but it's just one moment. It's just one moment, sometimes less than an hour a week. You know, the biggest impact and the biggest factor will be you and your household. You know, how are you modeling what you want to see in their life? What are you doing with them? What are you doing at home? Are you praying together? Are you reading the Bible together? Are you talking about those really tough questions together? And young people, you know, I want to challenge you as well. You know, don't wait for your parents to set that example. Why not try being the example and, like, keep nagging them to pray with you, read the Bible, and ask them the tough questions. I know parents love tough questions. but do it. And we're all here to help and support as a family. but it's your relationship and it's your responsibility. So for all of us, you know, we have this direct access to God. This direct access to God. And we can have boldness and confidence that God is not going to go anywhere, that he is by our side and he is with us. You know, his presence is here, and when we leave this building, God's presence will still be with us. So what are we going to do? How are we going to let that shape our future, our decisions? You know, God's here willing, waiting all the time. But it's our choice. What are we going to do? And I hope that's been helpful for some of you in some way as we've been reading Ephesians. And one of the things I really encourage you to do as well is, as we're going through Ephesians, to keep reading the verses. Don't just rely on Sunday mornings to be your sort of reading of Ephesians, but read it for yourself. Because I'm sure that even if you go home and reread these verses today, that there is more that God wants to say to you, that there's more that God wants to show to you. And I'm really excited to hear what those things are as well. But I'm gonna leave it there. And you know, don't forget that God is proud of you. And right now he's looking down, right now saying, hey, I'm proud of you. I'm showing you off to the whole world because I'm proud of you.